Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2019. I hope everyone in the U.S. survived tax day. Two people have who are here with me today. I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me. I look at tax day as an opportunity. If you have to pay, it's because you made some money. And that's, you know, a key to the charmed life is perspective. So there you go.
That's a good way to look at it. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
When's tax day again? I always get that mixed up. It's coming up, right?
May 15th.
Excellent. Okay, I'm good. Excellent.
You got,
yeah,
it's great. You got time.
Fantastic. Good to be here.
All right. So now it's awesome again. All right. So the first thing we want to talk about today is this interesting discussion that's happening around facial recognition software and where it bumps up against things like law enforcement. And the place that's happening right now is in Brian's neighborhood. So Brian, talk to us about this.
Sure. Me, right. Gizmodo was reporting it. So there is a proposal. Let me get the actual name of the proposal.
It is the Stop Secret Surveillance Ordinance in San Francisco.
Like that.
SSSO.
Yeah, I like that. So the ordinance would be San Francisco specific. Apparently, there was already an effort statewide that was defeated in part from police lobbying. But the ordinance would prohibit the city of San Francisco from employing facial recognition software pretty much anywhere. No carve outs for particular places and whatnot. And the local police are lobbying heavily against it.
Okay.
Right? Am I covering everything there?
No, yeah, you well, I mean, that's certainly the way to that you are correct.
Those are the broad strokes. That's what's happening. That's the part we wanted.
That's it. This to me, so my first thought was, and I don't live in San Francisco, so, and I've certainly been there. I've experienced San Francisco, but I have not experienced living there. So all of those sort of things aren't really part of my, you know, my vision of San Francisco. And this seems like a very technologically ignorant proposal. It may actually be exactly the opposite of that. I'll couch this, but it certainly seemed that way to me. And part of this is in reaction to something I saw at South by Southwest. There was a company, and off the top of my head, I don't know their name, but I think I have them somewhere. So I will circle back around. But there was a company that was exhibiting their facial recognition for TSA security checkpoints, right? So that you didn't have to show your ID or your boarding pass or anything. If you were someone that was, you know, capable of getting, if you had already bought a ticket, your face would be your ID, right? And it's called Veriscan, V-E-R-I-S-C-A-N. And when I first saw this, they had a booth at one of these, you know, Piers 15 vendors were highlighting at the show or whatever, I don't know, thing. And I saw their booth from afar and thought, whoa, no, thank you. Like, that's my Minority Report. That's not the world I want to live in. And it took me, you know, so that was my gut reaction, which is valid. Sure. Fine.
That was also mine, as you described it, was nope.
Yeah, but, you know, and then I walked around and looked at other things. It took me all of about, you know, 30 seconds of my brain engaging on this as opposed to just my gut. And at that point, my brain was like, I do want that because that's way convenient. And it's already the world I'm living in. So I might as well take advantage of this tech that's already happening all around me and has been for years anyway. So might as well give me the convenience of it while we're at it. And that's sort of where I landed on this, because it is happening. It is happening in San Francisco. It is happening nationwide. There is a database of all of our faces and all of us are in it, according to, what was it, some study that Georgetown University did or someone at Georgetown University did. So, like, a Georgetown Law study, believe it or not. So, I just feel like we're at best stemming the tide on this. And we've been tracking people like this for a long time, not with faces, because we haven't had that tech until recent years. But I mean, mm-hmm. it's not that recent that we've had that. But we've been tracking cars by license plates on the highway forever. Mm-hmm. You know, you can look back and see that this car was there, and, you know, get a alert when that license plate passes and it's doing, you know, optical character recognition on the license plates and telling you where the cars are on the entire highway system. It's, mm-hmm. it's just a thing. Now, I'm pretty sure police have to get a warrant to use that. But, you know, I think it's the system is there. So there you go. I don't know. It just seems interesting to me that this is the thing we're fighting.
Oh, come on, man. Oh, you're just killing me this whole time here. Look, it's the difference. It's you're comparing apples with, you know, like a bag full of grapes. The thing you're describing at CES. Is
small, juicy, tasty apples, aren't they?
It's a private system. Shush you. It's a private system at admittedly at a state-owned or a city-owned facility, I think, right? Who owns
what?
That's the $64,000 question, isn't it?
The CES facility stuff.
Oh, Veriscan?
No. Where was Veriscan was being employed within CES, right? So
Veriscan was being exhibited. They were talking about their tech and talking about how one use for it might be at TSA checkpoints.
A TSA. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. And I suppose we will end up doing things like that at TSA checkpoints. The Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security has been rushing around, apparently trying to get this stuff installed in airports and other TSA checkpoints.
Well, we've been doing biometrics with Clear, right? Like that technology also has been deployed and in existence for way more than a decade.
That's a volunteer system, though, currently.
Correct. You can, right. You still have to go through the metal detectors and all that, but you
can opt into it.
You opt into it, correct?
Right, and there's a massive difference between the facial recognition that's being done, you know, increasingly in a lot of places. Like there was a story last year about a mall in Canada.
Okay,
right, tracking everybody inside the mall, mm-hmm. and there's a difference between that and surveillance state. Like there's a great quote from one of the San Francisco, government body member is, and he said, we can have good security without a security state, and we can have good policing without a police state.
And okay, I don't disagree with that. What strikes me as odd is that we're already doing all. It's like let's take the facial recognition out of it, right? Let's rewind to a time when we didn't have cameras everywhere and the tech to, you know, sort of homogenize them and track people's faces, right? So fine, but we're already doing these kinds of things, right? We can track people by their cell phone, right? If you mm-hmm. have your cell phone on your person, we can know and triangulate, and that happens. And then, of course, as I mentioned, we have the thing that tracks license plates on the highways, and all this can be done either in retrospect because records and data are saved, or in real time. And now we're saying, well, that's all fine and good, but we don't want to do this facial recognition thing. Like that's the part that seems to be a technologically ignorant disconnect to me, is it's like, well, we've already accepted some level of, you know, surveillance is acceptable for the police to use, and it's regulated. I presume I don't spend a lot of time thinking about this stuff, but you know, it sure seems like it has been. So why wouldn't we just like rope this new method of surveillance in with all the rest of that other stuff on this path that's already been well paved?
Okay. So two things on that. Let me jump in here real quick. So first of all, I think part of it is that, Let's take cars, for example, and I have a concrete example of this. So my in-laws have used my house as their forwarding address, and I recently got some very interesting mail that had their car whipping through a red light. And yes, it was their car, but the one it was addressed to was the person who was registered on the car, and the other one of them was driving. And as another example, if I were to leave my phone in a car and the car drives away, yeah, you're tracking my cell phone, but you're not tracking me. And I think maybe part of what makes the facial recognition thing less acceptable is that there's not that wiggle room there. Like, sure. It's always me all the time, 100%. I know. And that's not because I think I'm doing anything wrong, necessarily.
Whether or not you're doing something wrong is irrelevant. That's right.
The thing that's being tracked, there are a lot of ways that that tracking data could be super duper wrong in a bunch of ways. You know, you leave your phone in a cab, that cab skips all over town. Like, you know, it looks like you've had quite an evening, you know, but you've been home with the cats all night. Like, that's, and those are two very different pieces of reality. On paper, it looks like you've been everywhere, but in real life, you were just home with the cats. Totally not going to give you an alibi, but that's also another story. So
here's the thing we're already doing, though. Like, mm-hmm. if someone, let's say, by your phone, we think you were, near that grocery store that was robbed, for the sake of argument.
Yes.
Then what we do is we go get the surveillance footage from the grocery store, mm-hmm. and also perhaps from the liquor store across the street who has a camera on the parking lot, right? Mm-hmm.
A warrant each time. Keep going.
Warrants, yes.
Absolutely. Well, with the grocery store, you don't need a warrant. Grocery store is just, that's the grocery store. Well, yeah. They were robbed. They will happily give that up. But that's an important distinction here. No warrant required.
They may give it up.
My point is they could give it up without a warrant.
Right.
They do not have to keep it sealed.
You can secure it with a warrant.
Correct. Yes. That's okay. Right.
Yep. Go ahead.
And then we can say, okay, so Kelly was there, or no, Kelly wasn't there. This was, somebody that's 6 feet tall and 300 pounds that did this, thing. So that's not Kelly.
Right.
And so we're already doing that. We're just using our human eyes to do facial recognition. Why? Like, that's the point where I'm like, well, the technology is just going to do it for us. I get the people that are concerned with civil liberties, and as Brian explained in the pre-show, which is not a great surprise, San Francisco is full of a lot of these people. That's fine. I don't say that in a derogatory way. I just acknowledge it. And so it makes sense that we need to sort of pay attention as these things evolve and mm-hmm. move along. And I'm glad that these people are doing it, but this one just seems, like I said, there's a disconnect.
There's a difference, but like I don't even understand why, like how we can why there's the need to discuss this. There is a difference between everything that you described, everything that we're doing, and the idea of essentially the police or the government being able to in real time track everybody and know where everybody is. There is just a huge difference there. And I think a lot of this stems from, I've talked about this a lot when we talk about the FBI's pursuit of backdoors into our phones.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Law enforcement has this desire, this mandate to keep us safe. Mm-hmm. Right? And
absolutely. That's what we hire them for as people.
Right. Yes. And to be fair, we can go to an absolutely safe standpoint, right? We can have an absolutely safe standpoint where everything we do is monitored, controlled by the state. We can go that route. We have heretofore mostly chosen not to go down that route.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
The state or the city or the federal government using facial recognition everywhere all the time, always keeping tabs on us, is a massive step towards that not free society.
Okay, now I understand the disconnect, because that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the police's ability to ever use this. Not all the time, full time, without a warrant. We're talking about, this technology may not be used.
But this is why this is a thing. In San Francisco, and in California, to a lesser extent, certainly there are huge parts of California that are very conservative, not liberal and progressive. But you talk about this being a technology ignorance kind of thing, and it's not. It is absolutely a civil rights issue.
But I don't think you're hearing
within
me.
San Francisco.
You're talking about a full time, like the police have that minority report database where we just have a list, and I'll tell you exactly where this person is. They don't need a warrant to track you or to track me or anybody individually. Everyone's location is just known 100% of the time. As I understand it, that's not what we're talking about here.
But that could be what we're talking about.
But and the same is true for tracking someone by their cell phone. The same is true for tracking someone's car.
No, because right? it's
we
not.
Could you know
have,
all
you have
the time.
To have a warrant.
Correct.
To get that data from private corporations.
That's the part I feel like you're not hearing, because why is this any? This is not any different. What we're talking about here is with a warrant, this is still not okay.
Tell that to London, where you have more cameras per square inch than anywhere else in the world. What's to stop, besides legislation like this, the city from installing cameras everywhere?
Well, cameras are everywhere. I mean, let's face it, right? Whether they're private
installing
or public.
Yeah. Government owned.
Okay. Well, what's to stop that is the people that vote for the budget, right? I mean, that would be the thing to stop or not stop that. But again, the use of these should be regulated, in my opinion, and my assumption should and would be regulated just like we regulate tracking someone by their cell phone, right? Or tracking someone's cell phone, which, let's face it, in today's world, usually is going to get you to where that person is unless they made a mistake.
Sure.
Right? Like our phones are in our pocket. Like we're obsessed with these things. So tracking someone's phone, you can't do that without a warrant. And that is using either private or public, you know, towers. It depends on who owns them and mm-hmm. who leases them and all that stuff. That's very murky waters, but you can't use them anyway without a warrant. And that's great. As far as I understand it, and I could be totally wrong about that. Why not treat all these cameras the same way?
Because again, the differences between it being a state-owned system and accessing privately owned things, in my opinion, that's a clear difference.
But that's not an actual difference. I mean, I get that you are making a distinction, but it's not an actual distinction. It's a straw man distinction. So I'm with you that, you know, I don't want to live in a surveillance state, right? We are 100% in agreement on that. I just think what we're talking about here is saying we have this bit of technology that we could use to track the people that we are legally allowed to track. And we're saying, no, we can't use it.
Okay, well, let me jump in right here, because I do want to make sure that we get in our sponsor for today. And then I have a question for both of you about this. And sorry. Brian, it will be related to something we talked about yesterday. So our sponsor today is KiwiCo. KiwiCo is a company that will send you a box. They call it a crate, Kiwi Crate, and it contains a complete project to encourage all different facets of learning. They have hundreds of crates to choose from for kids of all ages, from brand new all the way through high school. And each of these crates comes with everything you need. I've seen one that's this walking robot, and it's actually super cool. You get all the parts that you need. You get easy to follow instructions. And this one actually also came with additional little bit of information about robots in this little booklet that was pretty interesting. So they ship crates every month, and you can pause or cancel a plan at any time. It's super fun. Like I said, I've bought these as gifts, and they always go over pretty well, like kind of no matter who the kid is. They always seem to be pretty popular. So here's what you do. Go to KiwiCo.com/TDO, and you get your first crate for free. That's KiwiCo.com/TDO, KiwiCo.com/TDO. And like I said, you get your first crate for free. And we would like to thank KiwiCo for sponsoring the show today. Now, here's my question for you guys on this is, so yesterday, Brian, you and I talked about cashless stores, and we talked about how I said, like, I've just used technology too long, and this feels to me like a bad idea, because at some point the system's going to go down and I can't just, as a fallback, hand somebody a $5 bill and leave with my stuff. And the problem I have with facial recognition is I don't feel like it's in a place where we can just rely on it at that level, the same as with cashless stores. So, I know it's older, but I was reading Trevor Noah's book, and he told this story about how he is a mixed kid and he was hanging out with a black kid, and the video surveillance had them doing stuff, but the video surveillance couldn't balance between his friend's very dark skin and his slightly dark skin. And so he ended up looking like a white kid on the video. And so they were questioning Trevor Noah about who was the white kid that this kid was hanging out with. We know the two of you are best friends. Who is that kid? And they, because the video wasn't good enough at balancing contrast between their two skin colors, they thought he was hanging out with a white kid because it was just focusing on him. So
right, got it. So the issue here is the fact that this technology is not utterly reliable, and that right. is a baby steps issue. So, you know, of yes. course it's not perfect now. And there are studies that have shown that facial recognition tends to be biased against various marginalized groups or minorities.
Yes.
And those are probably real things. And over time, those things will no longer be real things.
Right.
And focusing on that to me is not the thing to focus on if you're opposed to this kind of idea.
No, because I'm opposed to it for a bunch of reasons. But first of all, on a mechanical level, like I don't think we're there.
If you focus on that, though, when those hurdles are removed,
mm-hmm.
well, now there's no argument against it.
No, right. I was just going to say, yeah.
That's not my main objection. But I'm saying as an added bonus, I would not consider this reliable technology to let people in the door of a place or anything even.
Yeah.
So... that's it.
It would be subject to court challenges as we go, and there will be, you know, the that will work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
That yep. is absolutely and positively not my short-term or philosophical concern.
I get your philosophical concern, Brian. What you know, like this idea of a state sponsored thing like I really feel like that's very different from what we're talking about here. And
it is a
state sponsored rollout rather. I don't want to say thing. I want to be more clear about that. Yeah.
Because what I was talking about earlier about law enforcement wanting to keep us safe and having a mandate to keep us safe, they will naturally always choose to pursue those things that make their jobs easier.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And in my opinion, there should be a constant tension between law enforcement and civil liberties. Right.
Can't go too far. Absolutely. Yeah.
Can't go too far either ways. And it's just like capitalism should be a constant state of tension between a free market and a regulator market.
Yep.
Right.
And yes. Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, that's obviously like oversimplifying all of it, but I'm with you. But I'm with you. Yes, of course.
So yeah. the in this particular case, I think it is much better to draw a line in the sand. Don't let if your city is concerned about this, don't let your city use facial recognition, because once it gets in the door, it's only going to creep up until we are headed to that police state.
I'll offer a devil's advocate view here, only because why not, right? So Kelly's example with Trevor Noah, humans were the ones that could not figure out who that white kid, right, in the yeah. example was.
Right.
It would be interesting using today's computers with that camera footage, so mm-hmm. existing tech, right?
Right.
Would the computer have just said, no, that's Trevor Noah?
Mm-hmm.
Like, would this question not have even come up because we're eliminating human error from at least the first part of this? Obviously, no one today, no one, and hopefully never will anyone be convicted based solely upon a computer's decision, right? Like, humans need to review this and all of that. Now, I don't know if they were actually doing something wrong or what, but, you know, like
they totally were, by the way. It was absolutely a thing they should not have been doing.
Got it. Okay, perfect. Yeah, but you know, like that's a whole different, like we have our laws and our judicial system to take all whatever evidence we can bring to it, mm-hmm. and then the evidence has evolved over the years in a huge way, right? You know, I mean, DNA is a relatively new thing for us, you know.
Yes.
And has actually worked out fairly well, it helps keep us from making mistakes. It's not perfect. But, you know, there are some people that have been released from prison because DNA evidence has proven, well, that wasn't you. Uh-oh. Right. You know, and I mean, it's gone both ways. It's not perfect. But I just feel like the more information we have in that scenario, the better. And I think we need to split this and treat whether or not we use facial recognition technology separate from whether or not a city chooses to spend its money deploying its own, you know, array of cameras everywhere. Like those, to me, those are two radically different things. And this article is about the former and not the latter.
But I think,
worry that it is actually about the latter. Like that's what people are, that's what the ACLU is against here. And it's just, they're not being clear about it. And that's where we get into a scenario just like this. It's like, well, there are times where we will find value in using facial recognition as we do with every other piece of technology that we have. It's just a part of our world. You know, back to my thing with the Veriscan, it's like, well, yeah, it's a part of our world. Let's take a convenience from it. And at some point in some judicial proceeding, that's going to be a convenience that we as a people want.
So let's just please everyone note that Dave is in favor of the police state and that I am opposed to it.
Yeah, oh no, that's how everybody that knows me would categorize.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's unfair.
Regardless of fairness, the question of accuracy is interesting, but we don't have time to go through that. So
mean it may not happen on ACM in the future or something. So
yeah, in a bubble here, you might well think that I'm in favor of a police state.
No, I don't. I just think it's silly to say
we can't use technology because
I think the ordinance
that's technologically
is about
ignorant. Sorry, go
drawing
ahead.
A line in the sand, Dave.
Yes, that's what
it
I think
is
too.
About drawing a line in the sand. No, that's my problem. Is it's an unrealistic line to draw because we will be using this stuff because it exists.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that's to me technologically ignorant. Like it's like all you have to do is look back. Like we use every piece of technology we can. We don't just say, oh no, you know, can't use. It's not life isn't a game show where, you know, somebody says, oh well, you know, you can phone a friend but you can't pull out your phone to look something up. It's like, well, and what can your friend do? Can your friend pull out their phone? Like, no, every bit of technology that's available we use. It's how it goes.
Well,
and I just feel like trying to treat it like it's not is unrealistic.
Right. But we will definitely be talking about it more, I guarantee, because something's going to happen with this measure one way or another. Either we'll have Brian on to do a victory lap or we'll have Dave on to do a victory lap. I don't know.
There will be no victory lap if my fears end up being proven true, if that's what you meant.
Yeah, I don't think there's a victory lap for me here either.
That was sort of the point, was neither way does it actually end up being a victory lap. But we will definitely be talking more about this.
Can I speak in one line? Just one line?
Yes.
It's the difference between surveillance capitalism and the surveillance state is an added wrinkle to this.
That's true.
And,
that's very, very true.
Unfortunately, we don't really have time to get into it, but I did think it was important to just, you know, note that.
I look forward to the next phase of this conversation on ACM this week, Brian. We may have just handed you a topic. So in the meantime, I do want to thank both of you for being here. We've gone a bit long today. Dave, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Brian, thanks for coming by.
For sure. Thanks for having us. Good things to talk about. People should talk about this stuff.
Yes. There should always be conversation about this. If you want to join our conversation, you can do so by emailing observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. We want to hear from you about all of this stuff. And while you're at it, you can swing by iTunes and leave us a review. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. We went a little bit long today, but it's cool because, again, conversation totally worth having. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.